Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the 19th Sunday after Trinity, or St. Luke's Day, entitled, What About St. Luke? Sermon by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. Today we celebrate the feast day of St. Luke the Evangelist. He is called an evangelist because he wrote the third of the four New Testament Gospels. It seems clear that St. Luke also wrote the book of the Acts of the Apostles, which comes just after the Gospels in the New Testament's table of contents. Taken together, St. Luke's Gospel and Acts form a continuous story of the birth of Christianity from the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist in about 5 BC to St. Paul's imprisonment in Rome in about 60 AD. There are two things which most differentiate St. Luke's Gospel from the other three. St. Luke has detailed information about the conceptions and births and childhoods of Jesus and his cousin St. John the Baptist. The familiar and wonderful stories of Gabriel's annunciation to the Virgin Mary, Christ's birth in the stable at Bethlehem, the adoration of the shepherds, and the circumcision of John the Baptist are found only in St. Luke. There have been legitimate speculation from the Church's earliest days that St. Luke got his information on these matters from the person who would have known about them best, the Virgin Mary herself. St. Luke also stands out from St. Matthew, St. Mark, and St. John in regard to the parables. If I ask you to tell me what the two most famous parables are, I suspect most of you would respond, the prodigal son and the good Samaritan. Both of those parables appear only in St. Luke, as do two of my other favorites, the Pharisee and the publican, and the conniving steward. I know of no theory which explains why he has all the best of these stories, but it may be because he was able to have long conversations with St. Peter in the last days of Peter's life. The writing of the book of Acts makes St. Luke the first historian of the church. He tells us what happened to the new church in Jerusalem in the weeks after Jesus' ascension into heaven, taking us through the first Christian Pentecost, the establishment of apostolic orders, and the martyrdom of St. Stephen. And then he focuses most of the rest of his attention on the most important New Testament character after Jesus himself, who was St. Paul the Apostle. We don't need to speculate about where St. Luke got his information about St. Paul, because Luke appears in the story of Acts as one of St. Paul's closest associates and missionary partners. This morning's epistle is the end of a letter St. Paul wrote from prison in Rome to one of his most trusted lieutenants, St. Timothy, who is the bishop of Ephesus, in what is now southwest Turkey. It is impossible to use this excerpt to defend the idea that Christians should never say anything negative about anyone else. St. Paul says some quite unpleasant things about at least two of the people he mentions. A man named Demas has run out on Paul, who describes him as having loved this present world. Not quite obviously, taking the same long-term view of things that Paul thinks are proper. He also mentions Alexander the coppersmith, who did me much evil. He prays that God will pay Alexander back for what he has done, saying the Lord reward him according to his works. And he cautions Timothy against having any dealings with the disobedient Alexander, saying, of who be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. St. Paul was not at all mealy-mouthed. makes it all the more remarkable that his friendship with St. Luke was able to withstand arrest and shipwreck and imprisonment. I admire no human being in history more than I admire St. Paul, but I cannot imagine that he was an easy person to be around or to get along with. Yet in this same epistle, he contrasts St. Luke with Demas, Alexander, and all the other difficult characters he knew by the simple and touching sentence, "Only Luke is with me." Remembering that St. Luke was a doctor, today's college asked God to show Jesus' healing power forth in the church, the healing of our bodies by the power of his Spirit, the healing of our minds and hearts by the power of his love. We are grateful to St. Luke for making this healing known to us through the power of his word. But you cannot know what I mean unless you read what he wrote. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.